This is the world broadcast of Imam Warth Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to human dignity and justice. Now, Imam Warth Deen Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in Ihdina As-Sirata Al-Mustaqim As-Sirata Al-Ladhina An'amta Alayhim Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim Waladdallin Amin. We greet our honorable radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace, and the Quran in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
Dear beloved Muslims, friends, visitors, peace be unto you, as we say in this religion, Assalamu alaikum. Praise be to Allah, the one Lord, creator of all of us, and peace and blessings be upon the universal messenger, Prophet Muhammad, and all the righteous servants of Allah, that is of God. But praise be to Allah. I want to begin with a verse from the Quran, and for the sake of us getting more interest in reading the Quran in its own language, in the original language, and for my own personal benefit as well, we'll read it in Arabic and give translation. It is good to read the Quran in its original language, and it is good to hear it often. Even if you don't understand it, it's good to hear it, because the more you hear it, it's like the child that's born in the world. The child doesn't know our language, but hearing our language helps the child to learn our language. And if the child can't hear, then it can't learn our language. You see? So let me read the verse from Quran. قُلْ أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَكْفُرُونَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ وَتَجْعَلُونَ لَهُ أَنْدَادًا ذَلِكَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Now here, the verse from Quran, the words of Allah, that is the words of the one God, highly praises He, questions the person who will deny or disbelieve in the God who has created the earth. Says in two periods, on 2 days, and has established in it its foundation, says that is the Lord of all the worlds. So the Lord that has created the earth is the same one that has created everything else. He has created the earth and has given it its nature, its design, and has also created everything above us. Everything. Now, why is it so difficult for some people to believe in that God? It should be difficult for us to believe in a God that is superstition. This is not a God connected with superstition. The true God is connected with the real world, with the reality that we know. We call it the reality. The true God is connected with the earth and with everything we see in the visible world, the material surroundings, and everything that has come as a consequence of that. So that's not superstition. The belief of the Muslim in God, the Jew belief in God, the Christian belief in God, when we understand their belief properly, we don't believe in superstition. We believe in a real God. And it's based upon rational concepts, rational ideas, as well as faith, not faith alone, but it's based also upon rational ideas, rational principles that can be proven. Again, Allah Most High in the Quran, He says, وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولُ وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولُ يَدْعُوكُمْ لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ وَالرَّسُولُ يَدْعُوكُمْ لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ And why or what would cause you to disbelieve in Allah while the Messenger of Allah is calling you to believe in your Rabb? Says Rabbikum, your Rabb. Rabbikum, your Rabb. Now what is the logic here? They translate this word Rabbikum, your Lord. But if you read every translation by all the accepted translators, here we have a translation of Quran right before me here by Maulana Abdullah Yusuf Ali. There are many other translators who have done the Quran into English, translated Quran in English. They all will tell you that their translation is not sufficient. That their translation is not sufficient. That it falls short of giving the full meaning and full beauty of the original text that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him. So if we understand that, then let us discuss a little more, see more in this word, Rabbikum. When we say Lord to an English-speaking people, to an English-speaking audience, you may think of Jesus right away as the Lord. But the people of Scripture, they called God Lord before the Christians called Jesus Lord. You see? And we find that in the history, political history of the people, they address certain governmental people with that term, or by that title, Lord. The Lords of London. The Lords in the governmental constitution of the English, the British people. They call them Lords. The House of Lords, the House of Commons. As we have, what, the Senate and the Congress, right? Yes, and they have the House of Lords and the House of Commons, you see? So when we say Lord, we feel obligated, Muslim that is, we feel obligated to explain to you in more detail what this word means. Now, we know the meaning of a word by studying that word in the context in which it is used. Many words take on different meanings because we change the context. They are scientific terms that when you use them in purely scientific language, they carry a scientific meaning, a purely scientific meaning. But the same term used in common language may not carry, in fact, it will not carry that meaning, that strict meaning. So we know that the words have to be understood in their proper context. And I thank Allah that I have been permitted to live long enough and to keep a good sane mind, to study this book and to read it over many times. So I will understand what a word means in the Quran. Because if you read it in just one verse or in just one chapter, that's not enough. You have to read that same word in many verses and in many chapters to see how Allah revealed this word to Muhammad, peace be on him, and how that word is to be understood in this book, the Quran, in the context of the Quran. So, dear beloved people, the word Rabb is used in many ways in the Quran. And when we study the many ways in which it is used, then we see the meaning of Rabb. Allah says in the Quran that Allah is the Rabb of the human beings. He is the Rabb also of jinns. Now the jinns refer to, they say, spirits. And some people believe that jinn can be in man too. And if man is dominated by that spirit called jinn, then at that time, that man is jinn. You see? And Allah is also the Rabb, He is the Lord of men. And many people believe that in referring to men, Allah is not talking about just any man. He's talking about the children of Adam. And in talking about the children of Adam, He's not talking about just any man. He's talking about the people that have been following the prophets. The people that have been following the prophets. Adam was a prophet. In the Bible, New Testament, the genealogy of Jesus, that is His birth history, is traced back to Adam. So we understand that to be the history of the servants of God. The history of the servants of God. And we know all of us are said to have been born from Adam, right? They say Adam is the father of all of us. They say we all are born from Adam. Well, in one sense, yes. In another sense, no. Some of us, in our biological makeup, we are from Adam. God only created one type of human, one human being, one human form. So in our biological form, we are from Adam. But in our spirit, we are from the jinn. Right? We're not from Adam. We're the children of the jinn. Not Adam, in our spirit. Because we don't behave like God-fearing people. We don't behave like rational human beings. We behave like wild animals. Are devils. So then, strictly speaking, we are not the children of Adam if we are like that. We are the children of the jinn. You see? Now, dear beloved people, Rabb is the one, says, who created us and the jinn. So if Allah has created the jinn, then can the jinn be all bad? No. No. The jinn are not all bad. In the Quran, we are told that a party of the jinn heard the Quran as it was being recited. And they got faith. Faith entered their hearts. And they say, we have heard a wonderful recital. And we bear witness that no jinn and no man should fabricate a lie against God. So they begin to give a proper testimony. So that tells us that the jinn are not inherently bad. The jinn is inherently good. But the jinn too gets off of his nature. What is the proper nature of everything then? The proper nature of everything is to conform to the laws created by God. And Allah created the jinn, Allah created the men, but the men get away, stray from that. And pretty soon they don't only stray from the word of God, they stray from the behavioral tendencies that God established for them. And they begin to take up destructive kinds of habit. They give themselves to destructive kinds of involvements. Involvements in destruction. Self-destruction, destruction of others, destruction of properties, destruction of civilization, and so on. So this tells us that Allah has created everything. He is the Rabb of everything. Now I think the meaning of Rabb is coming to you without me telling you what it means. As we begin to discuss how it is used, we will see the meaning. So Allah is the Rabb of the jinn. He's the Rabb of men. And Allah says in the Quran that He has not created men nor jinn for any purpose except to worship Him. So Allah created jinns to worship Him. Now, do we mean to make these superficial, ritualistic prayers? No, that's just one expression of worship. Worship is much deeper than that. To worship Him is to serve the purpose that he has designed to bring excellence out and to bring excellence to grow in the world. That's serving him. He created everything, yes, but he also gave it a potential excellence. And we see in the study of the evolution of animals, the evolution of plants, the evolution of the very crust of the earth, we see in the evolution of matter a growth toward more and more excellence. Then when we study the animal, the kingdom, and look at the cruelty in the animal, look at the cruelty in the animals. They tell us that in earlier periods of history in the animal kingdom, animals were very vicious. Huge animals walking the earth, they're called dinosaurs. Saber-toothed tiger, much bigger than the one we have now. Much more vicious. They found his teeth longer, much longer. Huge teeth. Where are they today? The process of evolving excellence has left them behind, has buried them as fossils in the ground. And left what? The more livable creatures to hang around on the earth. So you see, he is the Rabb of everything. He is the Rabb of everything. And look, when we look at the man, the human race, the human being, we see him in the process of evolution too, toward more excellence. We look around the world to see those wild hordes, the pirates of the seas, and the Mongol hordes. Where are they? Gone from the earth. Where are those vicious, cruel human beings who used to just terrorize the earth and the seas, the land and the seas? They're not around here anymore. And we find more people talking about humanity, more people talking about humanism, more people talking about love, more people spreading peace, carrying peace abroad in this time, whereas many thousands of years ago, the wild men had the freedom to roam the earth. But now it is the peacemakers that's roaming the earth. And the wild people are almost in prison. So doesn't this tell you that there's a natural process? That there's a natural process being evolved? And Allah, He is the Rabb of that. He is the Rabb of that. وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ. And what is wrong with you? You know, وَمَا لَكُمْ, that's a perfect grammar, perfect Arabic grammar, the best Arabic, Fusha. But you know, that's a very simple statement, isn't it? Very simple question. That's a question that any common person would ask when someone is going out of the natural behavior. So what's wrong with you? And that's what Allah asked here in perfect Arabic grammar. Malakum, what's the matter with you? That you don't believe in God, Allah, the one Lord. وَالرَّسُولُ يَتَعُوكُمْ لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ. While the messenger is calling you to believe in your Rabb. He's not calling you to believe in superstition. He's calling you to believe in your Rabb. And your Rabb is also the Prophet's Rabb. It was the Rabb of Adam. And here it says, in the verse I read earlier, it says, and he is the Lord of all the worlds. It says, ذَلِكَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And that is the Lord of the Rabb of all the worlds. Whatever world we know, political world, we speak of our political worlds as different worlds, don't we? We speak of our religious worlds as different worlds. And then we see them bodies floating in the space, we speak of them as different worlds. Well, this Quran says Allah is the Rabb of all of them. All of them. We speak of the world of living matter, the world of dead matter. We speak of, we use this term world in many senses, don't we? In many applications. And Allah is the Rabb of all the worlds. Dear beloved people, let us continue now. Allah Most High says in the Quran, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلُنَا بِالْبَيَّنَاتِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَكُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. Here Allah Most High is saying that He has certainly sent, says we, Allah used the term we have sent. Now we know Allah in our religion. We don't believe Allah belongs to a Godhead. There's a government of God and a cabinet of such, some angels, or a Senate and a Congress of angels. We don't believe that. When Allah says we, it's the same usage, the same language uses that you will find when you go to Saudi Arabia, or to Sharjah, or to Egypt, or to any country over there, and the ruler, when he speaks, he'll say we. Nahnu, we. When he says we, he means I speak for everybody in here. I'm the boss. That's what he means when he says we. He speaks for his kingdom. So Allah says we in the Quran, he speaks for his kingdom. Who is in his kingdom? The angels and all servants. Angels are servants, the spirit and all servants. No equals. No gods with him, no equals, no other bosses. All right. We wanted to say that because we know some Christians have misinterpreted the Bible where it says, he said, let us make man. That not only did others have a share in the run of the creation, but they suggest that others had a share in even the creation of man. Said, let us make man. Allah in the Quran never says, let us make man. Says he created man, and he created jinn, he created both. In fact, the angels, they had to be told. In our religion, we are told that Allah had created the angels before he created men. And then he said to the angels, he said, come look at the man I'm going to create. And he introduced the angels to the man he was going to create. And the angels were shocked by that. They said, how can any human being stand this test that you are going to give them? And then God showed him, the angels, his great wisdom. And the angels marveled at his great wisdom. But we know of another report is that when he informed the angels that he was going to make man a ruler in the earth, giving him a higher dignity than he gave the angels, then one of the angels, one among the angels who were leader of them, a jinn, called Iblis in the Quran, he refused to accept God's plan for this dignified creature he was going to make in the earth. He got arrogant and proud, puffed up with pride, self-conceit, got self-important, and he said, I will not except to submit to this man, to this creature that you're going to make from the ground, from earth, from the ground. So the different expressions are used, from clay, and another one says from mud, stinky mud, or black mud fashioned into shape, you see? So he refused, and Allah Most High, he said to him, "What is the matter with you that you don't accept to submit to the leader that I have made, the man, mean leader, ruler, that I have made with my two hands?" Meaning that the kingdom up there had been made with only one hand, only with spiritual power. And the new man he was going to make was going to be made with rational logic. He was going to be established on the principles of rational logic, material logic. So they didn't want to accept him. And God said, "What's the matter with you that you don't accept the man that I've made with two? I made you with one. Now I make him with a two. Two. He's a bigger, he's taller than you now. He's better than you. He's more wiser. He's going to be more wiser than you, more informed than you. How come you don't submit to him?" So you see, the angels didn't have as much sense, did they? They didn't have the potential for as much sense as a human being got. So he said, "Get you down from here. This is no place for you." That was a moral realm. They were up in the realm of purity. And he had let his self image make him arrogant. So that broke the morals of the higher kingdom, didn't it? He broke the moral nature and the moral law of the higher kingdom. And he was cast down into there to grow up again. Now, you know, the scripture has many ways of saying things. The Bible, when Jesus is reported, according to the Bible, that when Nicodemus wanted to be one of Jesus' disciples, Jesus told him, "Say, you have to be born again." And Nicodemus said, "Well, how can I go back into my own mother?" And Jesus said, "Nevertheless, you have to be born again." You see. Now, Allah says, وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. And surely, Allah sent its messengers with revelation, clear signs, clear evidence, clear signs, and sent with them, with his messengers, the book that is the revealed scripture, and also the mizan, that is the laws of justice, the balance, the universal principles of justice, that humanity should stand up for justice. That humanity should stand up for justice. So we see here that is the purpose of God, among the purposes that God has created us for, or in the purpose he has created us for, is justice. Justice.
You've been listening to Imam Warth Deen Muhammad. Tune in next week at the same time and station for the world broadcast of Imam Warth Deen Muhammad Speaks, produced by the American Muslim Mission.
أكبر الله أكبر.
This is the world broadcast of Imam Warth Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to human dignity and justice. Now, Imam Warth Deen Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. We greet our honorable radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace, and the Quran in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
Open our hearts to see the truth and give us more strength we need to follow His way. We pray that He will lead us to seek the mode of life, the character, the human attributes of the Prophet, so that we will be molded more and more in the correct image for His human creature. We pray that He will cause us to perceive the great opportunity that we have in being Muslims, to become the model people of the best human behavior, and to become a model for the poor people, for the suffering people all around us in the sinner cities, in terms of the material benefits and academic achievements. Because all of this is readily at the hand, accessible, ready at the hand of the Muslim if he will only be honest with himself. That's all Allah requires, is that we be honest with ourselves. If we understand it, Allah in the Quran tells us that evil, su'a, wrongdoings that we do, it's not something that is coming from outside. It's not something that is falling us from some other source. The source is within ourselves. The source for fighting off, fighting the wrong is within ourselves, and the source for inviting the wrong is within ourselves. And that by giving ourselves to evil, or giving ourselves to filth and wrongdoings, we are really oppressing ourselves. For Allah has shown us that evil doing, wrongdoing, is oppression of self, by self. Now, when Allah has shown us this so clearly, how can any of us still have an inclination towards sin and wickedness and immorality and crime? I don't know how anybody can do that. Once Allah has shown him clearly that every act in that direction away from truth and righteousness is an act of self-oppression. You're oppressing yourself. You're holding down your own potential. You're oppressing your intellect. You're oppressing your moral potential. You're killing the excellence of yourself. This is what Allah has shown us clearly, purely and clearly. Now, what Muslim would give himself to wrongdoing? Would take up as an occupation a criminal way, an immoral path, knowing that Allah has explained very clearly to him that such involvements oppress himself. You're oppressing yourself. And we, the masses, we cry out, the establishment is oppressing us. The white man is oppressing us. The system oppresses us. then understand, dear beloved brothers and sisters, that Allah has shown us where oppression really begins. It begins when you neglect your own good, excellent potential and give yourself to things that degrade the excellent creature that Allah has made you. Give yourself to sin and corruption, then you are oppressing your own intellect. You're oppressing your own good future. You're denying yourself a good life and a good future. So let us remember that and follow the excellence of the Quran, the excellence of Prophet Muhammad in his character. Follow this and understand that Allah is the one who forgives over and over again, as he repeatedly tells us in the Quran, that he's the one who forgives over and over again, that we can never go so wrong that he closed the door and say, no, I will never listen to you again. But he is the one who hears over and over again the plea of the sincere one who repents of his sins. So understand that you can never go so wrong that you can't turn back to Allah. In fact, Allah says the only one thing that he does not forgive, and that is that you knowingly set up a god against him, a false god against him. For that crime, you will not be forgiven. But for anything other, he says, you will be forgiven. He receives the callers, the pleas of those who want to repent over and over again. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has said that certain man, he committed sin. And he turned to God. He remembered that he had a Lord who created him and raised him up. And he turned to that Lord asking forgiveness. And Allah forgave him. And he repeated it. He went back. After a while, he went back into sin again. But again, he recalled that he had a Lord who created him and raised him. And he turned to that Lord asking forgiveness. And then for a third time, he committed sin. He went back again to sin. And he again remembered that he had a Lord who created him and raised him up. And he turned to that Lord asking forgiveness for his sin. And Allah said to him, you are forgiven. Go on, follow your own inclination. Isn't that wonderful? That person had practiced begging God, turning from sin to Allah for so long that Allah said, you can trust your own inclination. He established himself as one who had formed the habit of turning to God. And isn't that what we want to do? We want to form the habit of turning to Allah when we go wrong. And he says he will forgive us our sins. And again in the Quran, Allah Most High says that if anyone would come to him with sins so much as the size of the earth almost, that he could forgive them. So don't think that this is a religion that demands angel qualities in you and won't accept you as a human being. That if you commit sin, that you're going to be thrown out of the circle of Al-Islam, or as some say, out of the pale of Al-Islam. That's not correct. For Allah is your Lord. He is our master. He is our judge. He created us. Each of us have to answer to him individually and directly. There's no one under him as the chief, except in prayers and questioning individuals and turning them down before they go to God. All of us have direct line to Allah. Prophet Muhammad has taught us that there is no priesthood in this religion. Everyone turns directly to his Lord and Creator. So dear beloved believers, knowing that you have that free and equal access to Allah, you should depend on that, and you should find comfort in that. You should find much comfort in that, and you should not despair when you find yourself doing wrong or being given to sin. But you should, as that example person in the hadith, you should recall that you didn't come here by yourself, that all of this world hasn't been formed accidentally, but a Lord and Creator has done this, and you should turn to that one asking forgiveness, and you will get forgiveness as that one got forgiveness from his Lord. Peace and blessings upon the Prophet. We pray that Allah guide the community in this month of the fast to greater and greater commitments that is commitment befitting the Muslim, that we make new resolutions to be better Muslims, that we have the courage to take up more challenging projects, that we have the courage to build the masjid and the schools and all the good activities that we have into bigger and bigger functions. Muslims shouldn't be satisfied seeing the community stagnated, not moving, not progressing. We don't want a static Muslim community. We want a moving Muslim community. We want a progressive Muslim community. We want to see progress week by week, month by month, year by year. So we pray Allah open our hearts and give us the strength and the courage to do the things that we can do as individuals and to support the collective effort so that we will have constant progress in this community. And above all, let us seek always the pleasure of Allah, who created us, who is independent of all things, and who has given us the Quran, guidance for sure, a mercy to all the worlds. Allahu Akbar. Bismillah. والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. With the name Allah, giving all praise to Allah, I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. Peace and blessings upon the Prophet to whom the Quran was revealed, the universal messenger prophet, the prophet from among the uneducated, the prophet whom himself is called the uneducated prophet. He was uneducated, but we know Allah educated him. Allah revealed the Quran to him and educated him above all people on earth. In fact, above all people who ever were on earth. And that he, from among the illiterate masses, one of them, he became their leader, and he raised up, by the help and grace of Allah, he raised up those ignorant masses to become leaders in the world. They became number one people in the world under his leadership. This is history. History bear witness to that. Western history, Eastern history, history bear witness to that. That this one who was uneducated, called the illiterate, and sent to the people who were uneducated, they too called the illiterate, that he became their leader, and under his leadership, they were raised up to become number one in the world. And the progress that they were able to make under his leadership is so astounding that even the modern historians say that that man's progress was such that it is not matched in the history. Alexander the Great, no other great conqueror, had the discipline that Prophet Muhammad had. No great conqueror had the successes that he had against his enemy, and especially accomplishing what he did in such short period of time. Why am I saying that to you? Because you too represent the oppressed masses. Most of you here, you are from the culturally deprived people. You are from the oppressed people, economically oppressed, politically oppressed. You are from the subjugated and oppressed people of the Western society. Most of you have parents who could have had better opportunity, who could have excelled if circumstances were different. And we are talking about a people who had similar circumstances, but they were all together in that situation. Can you imagine a whole peninsula, a whole country, in a situation like that? And the people around them, even living right in their own borders, having more power, more intelligence, and more power than they, and they were the ones who occupied the land, They were the masters of the land, so to speak. But even while they were calling themselves masters, there were others in their land who were really their masters. Who were the masters of the Jahiliyyah? The Jews. Who were the masters of the Jahiliyyah? The Jews. Read the history and you'll see that the Jahiliyyah were wasting their lives. They had inferior culture. They didn't have a civilized order of government. They had no civilized society whatsoever. They were a whole peninsula, a whole country of games. The best description of them would be vice lords, Blackstone Rangers, Cobras. That would be the best description of this whole land, this whole peninsula of people. But in that land, they had some learned people. They were the Jews. And they were conducting business, and they were mastering the sciences. But Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him, was missioned by God as an illiterate, as an uneducated person, to address those ignorant people, the uneducated. And when he addressed them with what Allah revealed, the Quran, suddenly their life changed in about 11 years or more. Their life changed for the better. And then they became a challenge for the learned people that was living on their peninsula, living in their country, and excelling them and taking advantage of them, laughing at their ignorance, laughing at their inferiority. Now, isn't that the same condition the masses of the big cities are in right now? We occupy the big cities. We occupy the big cities, not the aristocrats, not the elite. We occupy the big cities. But what do we have in terms of organization? We have the Blackstone Rangers. We have the Cobras. We have the Vice Lords. We have the Disciples. We have the Arukans. Arukans, I can't, I'm trying to, error is on my mind and I'm mixing it up. I say Arukans. Error is on my mind. I'm sorry, I can't get the name right. Yes, we have them. We occupy the city. What other organization do we have? I don't know of any other. What other organization do we have commanding respect from the people out there in the city? I don't know any they respect. They fear the police and they fear the vice lords, the disciples, the Arukans, the Rangers. That's who they fear. They don't have enough respect for us to fear us. And when I say us, I mean the good church people too. I mean the good citizens too. They don't fear the good citizens. They don't fear the good people. They fear the organizations. And so far, we don't have organizations anymore. Except hoodlum organizations. Isn't that a shame? That they have degraded our leadership to that extent. We used to have Adam Clayton Powell in Harlem. We used to have certain personalities in Chicago that represented African American leadership. And those persons could get respect from gangs. The gangs respected such persons. In fact, I remember the time when a preacher from the ordinary church could go and face the gangs, and the gangs would respect him. I even remember a time when a decent mother could go out and face the gangs, and the gangs wouldn't have the audacity, the brute nerve to insult that mother. But our gangs have been taken over by the biggest gang on earth. Gang within the government. Gang within the political establishment. They've been taken over by them, and they have set them up. They have set the gangs up over the legitimate, intelligent leadership of the people. Now, some of the members of the gangs are right here today. That's why I'm talking like that. If you weren't here, I wouldn't even talk like that. You shouldn't allow them to do that to you. To do that to your whole people, to use you to bring down the worth the significance, the dignity of your whole race. You shouldn't allow that. You should rather be dead than allow that. Now, dear beloved Muslims, we should look back to the history and learn from the history that Allah is the same Allah that He was then. Just as He raised Prophet Muhammad up and dignified him and the people who embraced that teachings of the Quran, embraced his teachings and followed him, he can do the same for us. In fact, Prophet Muhammad has said that whoever accepts this way and follow his example, they will get the same blessings from Allah that the Muslims got in that time. They haven't been cut off. You should find some encouragement in the fact that I'm here. And I am the son of Elijah Muhammad. A man who's altogether different from me. But I've managed to stay here, and people follow the way that I lead, and they're with me, they support me all over this country. And you should see in that an encouragement that if more of us would have the courage to stand up and sincerely, honestly, truthfully, join the Imam. Not join me, that I'm the source. No, I'm not the source. But we need organization. We have to have organization. Join me as a focus of organization. Join me through this religion, through this Quran, and through the leadership of Prophet Muhammad. Join me, and you will see. If you have the courage to do that, we can change this sad picture all over the world. It can be changed, because nothing is holding us in our misery but our own attitude and our own weak disposition. That's the only thing holding us in this position. So let us come out of that, brothers and sisters. Don't tolerate that. Don't tolerate it. Let's dignify this body. Let's dignify this substance. Let's dignify this potential that Allah has created in most excellent mold. Allahu Akbar. Measure of respect when it comes to the common people. They haven't required it. And I'm sorry to say so, but even some Muslim countries, you can go in those Muslim countries, and you'll find that they don't know how to treat little people. If they think you're big, think you're important, all they give you too much respect. They almost worship you. But if they know you're a common little man, poor man, a common soul, Mr. John Doe, Mr. So-and-so, they don't give you the respect you deserve. Not all of them, but a lot of them disrespect the common people. So if a Muslim is over here from a foreign country disrespecting the common people, or if he's disrespecting his religion by selling, got his shelves full of whiskey, and got his meat cases full of pig, full of pork, then we should tell him, say, look, these people know you're a Muslim. You didn't hide it from me. I asked you were a Muslim. You said it. I said, As-salamu alaykum, you. You said, wa alaykum as-salam. Say, but you got all this mess here. You got all this stuff here that discredits us as Muslims. Say, so look, say, if you intend to continue this, mister, you're going to have a problem, because we're going to come down here and demonstrate against your operation. We're going to expose you. We're not going to use any force or anything, but we're going to let people know that this man, if he'll lie about his religion, he may lie about other things. This is not a trustworthy proprietor here. That's right. Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Let's see. If Muslims don't need a mediator, why do we need a religion? And if we do need a religion, if religion is required, you're just talking about provisions, how do a brother reach a comfortable state of mind between listening to your teachings and Brother Minister Farrakhan's teaching? How can a brother feel secure?
You say if a Muslim doesn't need a mediator.
Why can't we go directly to Allah?
I see. All right. We do need a mediator. And the mediator is right there with you. It's the truthful self within yourself. If you let that truthful self go to Allah for you, that'll be your mediator. It works out pretty well. Yes, sir. Now, if you're talking about a Jesus Christ as a mediator, we don't need that. That cripple us. That keep our true mediator from developing. If we don't call on the mediator within ourselves and just call on a mediator without, this mediator within ourselves is going to perish. He's going to die. He become invalid. He needs to use his life. He wants to live. He wants to operate for us. So Muslim speaks directly to Allah. Yes, sir.
I wasn't sure if you heard the other part of the question. How can a brother, you know, feel comfortable listening to your teachings and Brother Minister Parker? How can, you know, you feel sure, you know, that you're going and being led in the right direction?
All right. I answered it. That's why I didn't say any more.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Imam Warren, I would like to ask two questions. The first question I would like to ask, how do we read Quran? If we don't understand Quran clearly, I mean, you know, well, should we go into the Bible and Hadith?
Should we go?
I mean, how do we apply Hadith in the Bible if we don't understand Quran, you know, very clearly?
I'm not understanding the question. You say, how should we?
Should we read the Bible if we don't
the Bible.
Understand?
The Bible.
Yes.
Oh, yes. We should read the Quran and read the Bible as we read a book on Western history. See, if we read a book on Western history, we're reading that book because there's some question or something in that book on Western history that we would like to have or like to see. So if we read the Bible, we shouldn't read the Bible for moral guidance. We shouldn't read the Bible for spiritual guidance. That's not our book. The Quran is our book. We read the Quran, only the Quran, for spiritual guidance, for moral guidance, and for leadership. That's rational leadership, intellectual leadership, whatever kind of leadership. We only read the Quran for leadership. We read the Bible with a critical eye, and we read it only for information. Because actually it has been condemned as scripture. When the right books came correcting the mistakes, that have mistakes is condemned.
My second question is it Islamic for us to give our children candy on Valentine's Day and holidays in our schools?
Valentine's Day?
And different holidays.
Yeah, you mean to give gifts or something?
Yes, sir, on those days.
I don't think there's any harm in that.
Yes.
I think it's nice. Yes, I missed giving Shirley a Valentine this year, but I'll try to make up next year. Well, dear beloved Muslims, we seek his guidance. We seek his protection. We seek him to be our friend, for without him we have no friend. O Allah, make Muhammad successful as you made Ibrahim successful, and make the followers of Muhammad successful as you made Ibrahim successful. And bless Muhammad and his followers as you blessed Ibrahim and his followers. Surely you are praised and magnified over all the worlds. Ameen.
You've been listening to Imam Warf Deen Muhammad. Tune in next week at the same time and station for the world broadcast of Imam Warf Deen Muhammad Speaks, produced by the American Muslim Mission.